We're the one that have some need. We need purification, and we need qualification, and we need the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And when we render service, specific in this case at prayer, we are being decorated. And we'll hear some more about this principle. But it's a principle, because if you remember, the overarching theme is there's no prior qualification. There's no material qualification for becoming the recipient of the fullness of Krishna's mercy. So, how it works, we're getting the analysis of the flow of bhakti through the prayers of Prahlad. Okay, so this is the first of the verses, text 11. And I highlighted these words, nija labha purno. It's similar in meaning to atmarama. Nija labha purno. He has everything. He's full within. He doesn't need anything. And then the second part is logically following the first part. Therefore, the one who benefits from offering prayers or offering any service for that matter is the benefit goes to the devotee. And then third part is this one, yata. I underlined the word yata. Yata indicates a metaphor. Yata, tata. So the metaphor is, as you decorate your face, you're decorating the reflection in the mirror of your face. So you put on tilak. You're putting on tilak. And the reflection in the mirror, you see the tilak. So, in that way, while serving the Supreme Lord, we'll give some examples in a moment, we're being benefited. He's the beneficiary of the sacrifice in technical terms, but we're benefiting. He doesn't need anything. His happiness brings our happiness. In the spiritual sense of happiness, not necessarily the other kind. In other words, the happiness of the Supreme Lord may be that we experience some discomfort. It's a Christmas marathon and many devotees are going out in the cold weather and distributing books and it's uncomfortable, but the pleasure goes to Krishna and there's a pleasure that the devotees feel from that sacrifice, etc. So here's the translation, hopefully. Not moving. The on-off switch is on. It's not moving. Here. Maybe it's the battery. Well, I'll read it. Even you can't see it. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, it is nija labha purno, always fully satisfied in himself. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering, by the Lord's mercy, is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. Therefore. And then the final... To give an example, that's the yata, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. Now it's okay? Yay, okay. So here's a nice lady, and she's decorating herself. We don't see her decorating herself. We see the reflection of her being decorated, so that's the yata. And the way Prabhupada explains it is the things that we do every day, hearing, chanting, and so on, nine processes of bhakti, is not, of course, meant for the benefit of the Lord. This devotional service is recommended for the benefit of the devotee. So mentioned is hearing and chanting. We know perfection was achieved by Shukadeva Goswami, Mad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit achieved perfection by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Or take any other example of devotional service. An example that Prabhupada specifically gives is in relation to deity worship. So, those who are worshiping the deity, you know, there's very beautiful deities on the altar. And the devotion, cooking offerings for the deity and decorating the deity and offering nice articles to the deity. By that devotion, the deity is being decorated and the devotees are being decorated with happiness and purity and good qualities and things that you won't find. There's perverted reflections of such things. Pop culture stars and Donald Trump and his hairdo and anyway, so without listing, so those things are reflections and imitations, and it doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring true decoration. It doesn't bring true qualification for one who's not qualified. It just amplifies the modes of nature program, the conditioning program. But the process of bhakti, specifically now, one who is not qualified becomes qualified through the process of making such an offering. The principle involved is something that's a universal teaching in scripture, beyond the Vedic scripture even, or reflection of God. Prabhupada would often quote this, the biblical statement, man is made after image of God. So if we're made after the image of God, when God is decorated, the devotees become decorated. It's the logical extension of that idea. So we have form, infers the fact that God has form because we're created in His image. He has form. And therefore we have form, not, there's this fancy word, anthropomorphism, where people say, oh, you silly people, because you have form, you're just imagining that God has form, but He doesn't have form. He's formless, or doesn't exist, or something. But man is made in the image of God. And so when we decorate the deity, or sing very nicely for Krishna's pleasure, the devotee becomes decorated with quality and happiness and things that are otherworldly, literally. Okay, so now, next one. This word tasmat means therefore, so it's continuing from the previous, it's a logical extension. Here at the end, puyeta yena hi puman anuvarnatena. This verse is saying that the ignorance that was covering Prahlad, or the ignorance that is our disqualification, the ignorance is removed and we're allowed then to enter into a purified state. So the prayers that are about to be spoken by Prahlad, or any service that we might render if, or to the degree rendered with devotion, our ignorance is dispelled, and purification of material existence results, and we become decorated in ways that the prayers are indicating, about the Supreme Lord in this case being praised. Remember the word, he was born in a demoniac family. So, therefore, although I was born into a demoniac family, I may, without a doubt, offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor. I don't have to hold back. I can give it my best effort as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glory. So, Allah's offering the prayers. He's being purified. We're hearing the prayers that he's offered. We're being purified. We're being purified. So the prayers are for the benefit of Prahlad and for us. And Lord Nrisimhadeva is very kindly accepting those prayers. So a little more on this: no material qualification is needed. Prabhupada writes, none of one's material qualifications, high family, to be rich, to be aristocratic, or to be very beautiful, those Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri that we discussed this morning, will engage one in devotional service. So if that's the case, what's the entry point into the house of bhakti? With devotion, one should feel, God is great, and I'm very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. Only on this basis can one understand and render service to the Lord. Whatever one's position may be in the world, high position, low position, humble service, just like this classic example from Chaitanya Leela, there's many, but one is the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. So the devotees are doing this cleaning Shudra by some material designation kind of work. But that doesn't mean anything. The devotees, the Supreme Lord, the Lord of all devotees, is cleansing the Gundicha temple along with all the devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the goal is make the Supreme Lord happy, and I take any position whatsoever to make the Supreme Lord happy. Prabhupada quotes this verse that Bhaktamam Abhijanati Yavanyascha Smitatvataha from Bhagavad Gita. The only way to understand Krishna is to be engaged in devotional service to Krishna. And if one isn't engaged in devotional service, one isn't going to understand Krishna. So we're halfway done. Text 13. Text 13 has these terms that I've highlighted, specifically kshema. What does kshema mean? Yoga kshema vahamyaham. Protect. So, he's been asked by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, to pacify Lord Nrisimhadeva because they're feeling afraid of his anger. So they want him to do that service And Prahlad is saying, you've appeared for the protection of your devotees. So I know that's the anger is because of Hiranyakashipu's tormenting everyone in the universe and me too. And so you come for that reason, for the protection. Oh my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us. Again, no, not qualified. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. That's this line at the bottom. Vikriditam Bhagavato Rachira Vatarai. Your avatar, your appearance in this world, is simply for your pleasure. Ruchi. Krishna can eliminate problems without personally appearing. He's appearing for his own pleasure. We heard this earlier when he placed his hand upon Prahlad's head. He felt ecstatic. Now, Prahlad certainly felt ecstatic. But it was his pleasure to do that. It was his pleasure to appear in the form that he appeared. And tear Hiranyakashipu of pieces. It was pleasure. Remember back, Jayan Vijay offering, in their mind, offering a prayer, my dear Lord, Narayana, I know that you have the spirit of chivalry. That's even in Vaikuntha, what to speak of, in the higher of Ayodhya and Goloka. The Lord likes a tussle. So let us, who can do that adequately? Let us take that service if you so desire. So he likes. And he's finding happiness. And Jain Vijay were helping him. Although taking the position of against the Lord, the deeper, at least in their particular cases, they were for the pleasure of the Lord. Anyway, Prabhupada writes, when the Supreme Lord appears in this material world, in his various incarnations, he performs two functions, saving the devotee and vanquishing the demon. Such pastimes as those of Nrisingadev are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees, but nonetheless, the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So he comes, and there's some illustrations of his coming and giving protection to the devotee, like this one here, appearing to give protection to Maharaj Parikshit in the womb. And he does these functions each and every time. He has these purposes that he fulfills. And then our last verse for this evening, text 14. Manyum. This one is, again, anger. So he's exhibiting this anger, but like a scorpion or a snake, these two terms, Vrishchika or Sarpa, a scorpion or a snake, when killed, even saintly people are very satisfied. And then Rupam Nrisingha Vibhayaya Jana Smarati Smaranti. You've given them an opportunity now and into the future to always remember Lord Nrisingadev will protect the devotee so one can become free from fear. So the appearance looked fearful, but for the devotee, it's to help the devotee become free from fear. Nice. My Lord Nrisingadev, please, therefore, cease your anger. That's what the demigods wanted him to do. He's giving his appeal. Now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. I mean, I sometimes reflect on this when the devotees are reciting pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And it gets into this confrontation thing and a battle thing, and Krishna kills the demon, and the devotees go, Haribol! What kind of people are you? Krishna killed this one. Krishna killed that one. I heard Indradyumna Maharaj tell the story of his mother's first visit to the temple. And he was well-educated and, you know, on his, like, a number of devotees on his way to a nice, successful, worldly career of wealth and position and so forth and so on, and not being interested in that, but being interested in spirituality. When he met the devotees, it was Haribol. And so he just kind of dropped off the radar screen, and mom and dad wondered what happened. Maybe he's been brainwashed and all that kind of talk. So he was, you know, warm and affable in Indradyumna Maharaj, so they came to visit him. And the first thing they saw when they came to see him was the painting of Lord Nrisingadev bifurcating Hiranyakashipu. And mother, like, looked at the painting and said, "What's that?" I said, "That's the Lord that we worship." Because he's a Nrisinga Bhakti. He worships Nrisinga deities. You know, mom didn't really get it. And many people don't get it. The devotees get it. That's what this verse is saying. And remembering that protection that the Lord extends to the devotee is one of the reasons for the Lord's appearance, to help us, like Prahlad, become free from fear. So, I don't know if you've seen any one of those things up here in the Northeast, but I've seen them elsewhere. Scorpion. And there's not all scorpions are deadly, but many of them are deadly. They sting you. You're dead. Prabhupada writes, "The most important point in this verse is that although saintly persons never desire the killing of any living entity, they take pleasure in the killing of envious living entities, like snakes and scorpions." I'll tell a little story. Some years ago, we were attending a meeting, organization developed meeting of the GBC in Italy. And I was assigned a room. They were doing some renovation up on the third floor. And it was a large, spacious room, and which I thought was to myself, but actually it was the territory of a scorpion, a black one. And, you know, he had this tail like you see, and he, like a rattlesnake, he would wiggle his tail and basically say, you know, better watch out. So I, you know, was observing every day, chanting, and, you know, staying there, that he was very territorial. He, little guy, but he circumambulated the room around its perimeter every day. Now, I don't know if he was watching me, but I know I was watching him to see what's he up to. And it was like, this is my kingdom. Don't mess. So I decided, look, I'm here for a little while. This is this guy's kingdom, you know, so we'll just cohabit for a while. And then, you know, every day, staking out his territory, his little thing, singer going as he was moving. So we coexisted for some days. And then the final day that I was there, I noticed he fell asleep. He was curled up in a little, almost like a little ball. So I took the opportunity to get a broom and open the door and swept him out the door. And I watched him walking down the hall looking for where's his next kingdom. And I told the president or the person in charge of the center, you know, you have scorpions upstairs. And he said, oh, they won't hurt you. We know about that. That's the kind that won't hurt you. And I said, I'm not taking any chances. Anyway, scorpion story. And, of course, snakes. And I don't know if you have experienced, but I have experienced when there's a cobra on the loose and there's a whole big deal of getting the cobra, commonly what is done to get the cobra into a pot. I don't know how they do it. And then cover the pot and, you know, remove the cobra. Hiranyakashipu was killed because he was worse than a snake or a scorpion, and therefore everybody was happy. Even it looked terrible. Now, Prabhupada told the story, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's story, that goes like this. Some of you have been to Mayapur. And you know, his headquarters was Chaitanya Math. And there was his room, his house. And he had a little veranda on the upper floor of his house. And he would walk up and down. And Prabhupada said when he went to visit, he would pace up and down like a lion in a cage. And for some period of time each day, he would speak aloud counter arguments against Vaishnavism and defeat them. It was like sparring in establishing Krishna conscious truth. So one time, when Prabhupada was visiting, there was a cobra on the loose, and the devotees were, ah! And Bhaktisiddhanta from that balcony saw what they were doing and said very loudly, kill him! And Prabhupada said, I was very surprised. I thought, he's a sadhu. And like everyone thinks, sadhus are supposed to be shanti and peaceful and don't hurt anybody. And he said, kill him. And so it created a doubt. He didn't use that language, but it created a doubt in his mind. And then Prabhupada said, when I read this verse of Prahlad Maharaj, I was very relieved. Ah. So now, there is a situation when something that we see that provokes fear, we feel it. We feel fear. Now, this message is, Lord Nrisingadev appeared to give us this pastime so we can think of his protection and become free from fear. In our process of devotional service, It requires cleansing material consciousness. The purpose of remembering the Supreme Lord and His form and His quality of protection is not just, you know, like He's got big biceps and He's going to come and push away our difficulties. He's going to cleanse ignorance because that's where fear comes from. And in our one of our primary processes of cleansing away material contamination is the chanting of the holy name. Chaitadarpanamarjanam, cleansing away the dust accumulated for years together. And this is the form of ignorance. And the next line, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. So we discussed that, I'm sure you recall, Kant, is it chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, text number 20 through 23, Prabhupada twice in one purport says this, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam, corresponds to becoming free from material contamination. That's this cleansing of ignorance. And when you're free from material contamination, if you're a Buddhist, you go to nirvana. And if you're a devotee, you go to devotional service free from material contamination. You enter into svarupena vyavastiti, your activities in spiritual form. We may not have realized that yet because we've still got too much ignorance covering us. But the process is given to us for that purpose. And similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam can achieve the same thing, or they're very good companion activities. This companion activity is, described in Srimad Bhagavatam here in this particular verse, and then again later in Canto 11. I'm going to make reference to two verses. This Canto 11 section is the Navayogendras, the nine great sons of Rishabhdev, who became Uttama Bhaktas, perfected souls, and they visit King Nimi and they're giving him instruction. So in chapter 2, it's Kavi, is one of the nine Yogendras, and he's explaining this principle that hopefully it's going to show on the screen. There. One whose intelligence is constantly disturbed by his falsely identifying himself with the temporary material world can achieve real freedom from fear only by worshiping the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord in such devotional service. All fear ceases entirely. Now, it doesn't say it happens with the snap of your fingers, but it's the process that all fear. So that's the cleansing of ignorance is the result of worshiping the lotus feet, and starts with us hearing and chanting and remembering the power of Lord Nrisingadev to give protection. I received this image from one of the devotees in the audience, another image of fear. So in that same chapter, spoken by the same Navayogendra, is this one verse that many times Prabhupada would quote, I am the Triyam of Binibeshi Taksyat. And the whole verse is pictured here. Bhayam Dutiyam Abinibeshi Taksyat. So I'm going to go through this, just the first two lines. Syat means arises, and Bhayam means fear. So fear arises when there's Abinibesh, or absorption in dutiya. Dutiya means something separate from Krishna. Well, what's separate from Krishna? There isn't something separate from Krishna, but thinking that there's something separate from Krishna, being absorbed in the material consciousness that there's something separate from Krishna, and being absorbed in that means trying to be the enjoyer of that. I am. Ishad apetasya, he who is the supreme, there is some aversion to him. And viparyayo smritihi, one's remembrance of, oh yeah, Krishna. Remembrance of reality with a capital R and truth with a capital T and self with a capital S, it gets covered. Nishada Petasya Viparya Yos Ritihi. And then that fear is there. So there's a way to get free from that fear. The bhakti process. Here's the verse. It's very nice. Very nice. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body. Because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. Fear. Naturally, we're alone. And there's this horrible thing called life, and some obstacle or a person or a situation or something. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion. Therefore, any intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. Exactly what Prahlad has accomplished. And therefore he's fearless. Yes. He received mercy of Narada. And he became eligible for special mercy of Lord Nrisingadev. And now he's, you know, absolutely free from fear. There's this nice reference in Queen Kunti's prayers. She refers to Krishna as he who is feared by fear personified. But I tried to find an image that looks like fear personified. So this is what I came up with. Fear personified. And here's that verse that Queen Kunti cites. Can you turn this on? So here we go again. The vocalist is in the audience, but she can identify herself if she likes. He prays, my dear Krishna, Yasoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears. which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. The sight is bewildering to me. And we heard first morning, that Lord Nrisimhadev is the manifestation of Govinda, who, by placing his feet on the Kumbhadvandave, or the tumuli of the protrusions, and the head of Ganesh, gives Ganesh the power to remove obstacles. And when he appears, this same Lord Nrisimhadev appears, just by remembering his pastime, one becomes free from fear. And yet, Nrisimhadev, who is an expansion of Krishna, plays a pastime where he's afraid of the stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. He who is afraid, fear personified, is afraid of him. He is afraid of the stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. So, what we're hearing from Prahlad's prayers is that there is no need for the Lord to be angry. And there's no need for the devotee to be afraid of the Lord. Because the anger is for Nrisimhadev, for Hiranyakashipu, not for the devotee. So therefore, conclusion, the devotees can always remember the form of Lord Nrisimhadev when they're in danger. I know some people in danger. And sometimes we're in danger. I mentioned some examples the other evening, this morning. And therefore, the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev was not at all inauspicious. Wonderful teachings, huh? Through prayers to the Supreme Lord describing, summary. Although one may not be qualified to do a service, I'm sure all of us, on more than one occasion, have been asked to do some service that we feel we're not qualified. If we're realistic, what are we qualified to do? And we should be not presumptuous, we should be thoughtful. But the qualification comes to do the service by the service, by specifically the power of remembrance of the Supreme Lord and his all benedictory nature, that the darkness of ignorance, which is the cause of our disqualification, the root cause of our suffering in material existence, is that ignorance. It's removed through the medium of service. So take an appropriate service for our standard, but qualification comes. Ignorance is removed. Fear is removed. If one is in this world, there is fear. We heard Prabhupada describe these things are there. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. They're, because we have a body, it's there. How is it checked? Remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And service unto Him. And by those services that we render, we become benefited, whether it's offering a prayer or worshipping the deity or distributing transcendental literature or cooking in the kitchen or singing in kirtan or whatever, cleaning the floor. We're being benefited. The heart is becoming cleansed and spiritual qualification comes to us. And then through that medium, we can understand what otherwise cannot be understood about Krishna. At least the potential, the potency is there in that medium of service. Prahlad has full faith. He has clear understanding. He's just a little boy, but he's heard from Narada, so he has very clear understanding of this power of bhakti. And that's what's energizing him to go forward, although he's feeling not qualified. Okay, so any comments or questions on these evening's verses? Dvaita Chandra in the back. Pat, raise your hand again.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for these wonderful opportunities to hear about Prahlad Maharaj. The pacifists can feel easily offended when they see or hear about Narasimhadev's pastimes. I've had one experience where a college student who until she saw Narasimhadev's picture was quite favorable to Krishna consciousness, but then right after that she stopped coming. So my question is, do you have any recommendations on how to bring a pacifist to Krishna consciousness, or is pacifism a disqualification?
Well, my recommendation is to look at the example of our founder Acharya and see how he did it. Because at the time, no, he had spiritual qualification. That was how he did it. At the time that he began, there were, you know, anti-war people who were his regular attendees. The whole of the younger generation was anti-establishment, anti-war, anti-anything. So he did it by his spiritual qualification, but he also gave reasonable explanation. Of course, some persons didn't. They resented the fact that he would even support such things as the Battle of Kurukshetra, or, you know, something that's anything other than peace and love. A very simple explanation, depending upon the person, might be, let's look at the body. There's the head department, arms department, torso department, and legs department. Four departments. And what are the arms for? It gives protection to the body. Supposing somebody throws something at you, you don't have to think about it. Your hands go up to protect. Just reflex. That's what the arms do for the body. It gives protection to the body. Only, now this is Dharma, only or theistic conduct, only when there's the need to give protection to the body do the arms give protection to the body. But there must be some element of society that gives protection to the innocent members of society, the body of society. There must be. There must be. And that's a function that only those that have the, so the training for such persons is, just like any, I've never taken martial arts, but I know that people take martial arts. When it's done properly, the first thing is yama niyama, basically. There's a codes of conduct. I'm not going to teach you unless I'm convinced that you understand this is not to be used to harm anybody. It's only for the purpose of protection. Otherwise, I'm not going to teach you. So you have to learn that lesson first. But anyway, when there's qualified person, it's something that they need. It's the body of society needs. Extend protection. And not otherwise. Now, the problem is not there are persons that have that capacity. The problem is persons that don't have the moral compass. So, my dear pacifist, there must be persons that protect you. If you have a burglar breaking into your house, you call 911? Because they're trained to give you protection. Now, I suppose you could just, you know, open up the door and say, here's where I keep my jewels. And my valuables are over there, and here's, you can do that. You could do that. But the Vedic culture is, there's to be this principle of protection for those who are innocent. That's a principle to live by. Look at the body, how it's designed. That's what arms are for, to give protection. The head is another purpose. That's a possible way to explain to somebody who is a pacifist. Something known to help understand something unknown. How to organize society. Is it all right? Supposing you're walking down the street. I've had this experience. And you see some bully literally is beating up on a young person, a smaller person. What are you going to do? Just walk on by because I'm a pacifist. Gotta do something. He may be bigger than you are, but you can't just stand by and let the thing happen. So some people need to be trained to give protection. And when to use that and when not to use that. That's character. Anyway, that's another. Some people are just stubborn. But at least at the end of the dialogue, they'll have had an opportunity to hear something that's quite reasonable. Not, I don't agree with it, but, I can see where they're coming from kind of a position. It's not the position I want to take, but I can see that's a reasonable position to take. That's a step in the, good step in the direction. They may not come around again, but reasonable. Yes, in the front. Your daughter up in the front here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, is there a stage of surrenderance we have to reach to get immediate reciprocation of protection from Krishna, or does it happen any time, any stage of reach a level of full surrender?
No, it doesn't. Two things. No, it doesn't require a level. Krishna hooks you up to a surrender barometer, and the needle goes red, and I'll come and protect you. It's not like that. And on the other side, Jiva Goswami explains in some cases it's an opulence that the Vaishnava exhibits, that they're protected, and sometimes they don't exhibit that opulence. He makes compare contrast with Prikshit Maharaj, defenseless child within the womb of his mother, and he exhibited this power. Of course, it was Krishna exhibited the power to give him protection. And then conversely over there is Maharaj Prikshit. Later on, he didn't exhibit that power when the snake bird came and killed him. And he could have done something in between, when that curse came. Ambarish Maharaj, immediately, his mind, when that fiery demon came towards him, the Bhagavatam says, I like this, his arms were at his side, his arms didn't go up like that. Here comes a fiery demon. His body didn't move, and his mind didn't move. He didn't feel fear. His body and mind, nothing happened. But the Lord protected him. Now, might that happen if you're not on the level of Maharaj Ambarish? Sure. Maybe not, Sudarshan Chakra is going to come and chop somebody. But protection. So we may do something in the case of Maharaj Ambarish. We may not do something, but the Lord's protection is restful, because otherwise putting your arms up when here comes a fiery demon isn't going to stop the fiery demon. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have 2 points in my mind. One is we read the verse about the snake and scorpion. Now we do see Lord Balarama as Anant Shesh in a spiritual world. World is a perverted reflection.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Okay. And another point is our schedule say that today the verses will be living entities within the limits of time. Now I'm not able to correlate that thing.
Say it again.
Our schedule say that 11 to 14 verses is living entities within the limits of time.
Verse 14.
And I'm not able to understand that.
This one? Yes? Are you saying verse 14?
The verses 11 to 14 represent living entities within the limits of time.
Where is that reference from?
In our schedule. Okay, sorry. In the
crisis
schedule,
is over now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Anyone else? Yes, over here.
Hare Krishna, the beginning that God doesn't need anything, He's completely full, and whatever that the service we do with devotion, it's going to benefit us. So my question is, like in these stories, like Sanatana Goswami's story, that when he offered the bread, deity asked there should be a salt to the bread. Similarly, there are a lot of incidents that deity speak to the devotees asking for sweet rice and like whatnot. Like there were like so many incidents.
Okay.
So, is this, and when we serve the deities in the temple also, we follow so many austerities, and when we do that, we do with fear also. So,
you do?
When we do the service, like, you know, we are like, should be very caution. We are like, we have so much caution.
But not fear. Caution doesn't mean fear. Oh, say, is it possible to be cautious without being fearful? You know, you can be cautious and fearful. You can be cautious and just be cautious.
So, my question is that when the Lord is completely full, and why He's demanding sometimes with some devotees, is it a leela?
For our benefit. It's for our purification. It's for our purification. He wants us to be pure. A nice example that comes to mind is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he received Sanatan Goswami, who left Nawab Hussein Shah and came looking like a Muslim mendicant, but he had this nice chadar that is, and so he had him shaved and looking nice, and Lord Chaitanya kept looking at that nice woolen chadar or blanket. He didn't say anything, but Sanatana Goswami was a minister. He understood what his eyes were, his words, what he meant. So he gave it away. And then when he came back with a torn quilt instead of this nice woolen blanket, Lord Chaitanya explained, he's interested not just in curing the disease of the patient, but a good physician wants to see that the patient won't get the disease again. And you're going on the path of renunciation. You're going on the path of renunciation, but you're, you know, maintaining some attachment for something like this. That's not good. So it's good that you gave. So someone may, in a superior position, encouragement at the same time, you know, keep going kind of message. And when she, so with deity worship, you're qualified through brahminical initiation to worship the deity, and now further purification. It's for our benefit, the purification benefit. We should be careful, I said, and make offense. And sometimes it happens. I mean, pujaris have told me something without the details. Something happens, and the body of the deity is scratched with a crown or pins, or you know. So, because the deity is a person. So, we're not fearful; it's loving, but we're careful. Okay, and for our purification, it's for our purification.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Way in the back. Way in the back.
Maharaj, so in one of the slides, in his purport, Prabhupada says, the devotees were afraid seeing the incarnation of Narasimha Dev,
yeah,
because they are simple and faithful. And later in the presentation, you know, you discussed how fear itself comes from misidentification. Earlier reference is not really fear, then?
It's not fear like you and I feel fear. It's fear for the purpose of Leela. It's induced by Krishna for the purpose of Leela. Like Arjuna's ignorance and, you know, loss of memory of what's his duty and everything. It's for the purpose of Leela. Or Maharaj Parikshit becoming, you know, haughty and placing a dead snake on the neck of a sage in meditation and trance. It's explained earlier. The goddess of fortune was feeling fear induced by Leela Shakti of the Supreme Lord to create this Adbhuta Rasa. Up front.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. About the... When I do a spiritual activity...
About what?
When I do any spiritual activity...
Spiritual activity.
Yeah. Then I understand that it will purify me for sure. So...
You understand it's what? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I'll get purified.
Purification, okay.
But I don't have the mood that by getting purified, I'll serve Krishna and I will please him.
It's okay.
It not doesn't go there.
It's okay. So, you get purified anyways.
Okay. Is that still devotion then? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Not, you know, it's not the highest grade quality of, but it's devotion. Otherwise, you'd, you know, be off somewhere else doing something else. There's submission to Krishna. And so the encouragement is there's submission to Krishna. And the encouragement is keep going further in the bhakti principle. What's that? Krishna should be pleased by that. Oh. Not just neutralizing, you know, the misery of material existence. It's like that kind of liberation. It's Krishna should be pleased. So that's bhakti. And it'll grow. Cultivate it. And it'll grow. A nice example is, you know, a little seedling that you're making into a sprout and it's not mature yet, but keep watering it in sunlight and it'll mature. But understand what the principle of maturity looks like and you cultivate that. Because it's a conscious thing. It's not a mechanical vending machine. It's a conscious... So cultivate that. You're not there yet. You're there a little bit. Submission is there. And continue. Cultivate bhakti. Conscious cultivation of bhakti. It'll happen anyway, but it'll happen more effectively. Way in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It was mentioned that the qualification to do service comes by doing the service to the Lord. I tend to reflect upon after doing the service and it was so unsatisfactory. And so it discourages me to do again. So what is the way of reflecting upon...
The way of?
Reflecting on the service that was done.
Reflecting on?
The service performed.
The service performed. Well, specifically, the ignorance factor is addressed. Just like by chanting, Chaita Darpana Manjanam. What's our qualification to associate with Krishna? No qualification. But he'll associate with us just by calling his name. And by calling his name, there's cleansing. Purification. Similarly, in relation to your question. The bhakti principle is the operative principle that is to be enhanced, not just waving a stick of incense and ringing a bell is purification. There's some submission. In that submission to this is how you perform arti, there's spiritual benefit. The service rendered, the mechanical aspects of the service rendered in and of itself isn't transcendental. But, for example, the holy name is fully transcendental. And if we just contact the holy name, even our consciousness is out to lunch. Even if we're laughing or whatever it is, abhas, it's still beneficial. That's the power of the holy name. And the power of the holy name is awakens the consciousness of wishing to serve Krishna. So we chant the holy name and we do some service in the consciousness, at least a little, that it's for the service of Krishna, like this question earlier. It's not to say the negative is misunderstanding. Don't worry about if you have the qualification to do something. Just do it. Be concerned about the qualification to do something, but what's the lesson that we're hearing, this whole little section is, the real qualification is bhakti. So be realistic, be introspective about what's my qualification in bhakti. For example, I may wish to do deity worship, but if I'm not brahminically initiated, I'm not eligible even to be a candidate for in a temple deity worship. And then I may have brahminical initiation. I may feel I need to qualify myself further for deity worship. There's boundaries of becoming qualified. Self-introspective kinds of boundaries and others evaluating qualification. But what makes us qualified is bhakti. So you do appropriate service according to your situation under guidance. And then, like I remember, this as a little example. New devotee had said, there's some activities for the children. We have prepared some items for them. Can you make an offering? And I said, I'm just this new devotee. How can I make this offering? And the reply was, it's not like you're going to take this and offer it on the altar to Radha Govinda, but Krishna doesn't say only initiated devotees can make offerings to me. Quoted the verse and said, you know, offer with love and devotion. You know, make the place clean and be clean and make a proper offering. And that's what Krishna accepts, the love and devotion with which something is offered. So, realistic appraisals and then following instructions and ideally the example of our founder Acharya and how did he do what he did and so what should we do? And it's not, let's say one last thing. In the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada had persons, you know, I remember specifically, Rishi Kumar was 21 years old and he gave him sannyas. And, you know, I didn't know nothing about nothing, but I realized, how is he going to maintain sannyas? He's just this 21-year-old New York City kid. And sure enough, it didn't last long. But, you know, Prabhupada took risks to engage people in ways that most likely, anyway, he was giving opportunity for purification, in part because of his age and how he had a mission. We don't have that same spiritual power that he had, so we can't just imitate, oh, okay, you're 21, go ahead and take sannyas. We have to be realistic with our qualification and our circumstance about services and encouraging people in services. It's just a comment about how Prabhupada did things. You have to a little common sense and a little maturity helps a lot in determining what's something that I should try to take up or what's something that I should encourage someone else to take up. But so there has to be some boldness and there has to be some caution. Same time. Something else? Anything over here? Yes, Paramarupa. Could you speak into the microphone?
Guru Maharaj, I had the same question as Prakash Prabhu, so I wanted to just confirm my understanding. So, when the devotees are in front of the fearful form of the Supreme Lord, generally they are not afraid because they understand that that fearful form is meant for the demons. But then when they are found to be fearful, then we have to understand that the secondary rasa is at play. Is that
on the standard of these devotees, yes, but if it's you and me, then it's something else. Okay?
Is that the reason why we were discussing that point? Is that the context in which we are understanding the simple and faithful devotee?
Yeah.
That they are operating on the secondary rasa of fear. Otherwise, they appear to be contradictory because we had been discussing that.
Not necessarily contradictory. As, you know, referring back to a response I gave to Snehavali earlier, there's other factors besides these two. And be very careful with, you know, the analytical part of our brain to say it's this or that. There's multiple factors involved. Multiple factors involved. You know, so be careful. Okay. We'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And I remembered this evening to bring some Mahaprasadam, and so I'm going to distribute the Mahaprasadam. Hare Krishna.